Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. Also, Apple, Stitcher, Deezer, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you're listening to podcasts. It's the Dark Mark Show, and I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Once again, I do apologize. My regular co-host, Hannah Bach, the one who gets all the emails and all the praise, is not here tonight because Grandpa's... You'll be relieved to know he's over his cold, but he's still a little weak and trying to get back together. So she couldn't make it today. She got to take care of Grandpa. But Grandpa, I was going to say Grandpa. Actually, we're trying to get Grandpa for next week because one of his crushes is going to be here next week. But Hannah will be here next week. We've got quite a month, and we've got quite a show tonight. So I'm here with two of my favorite people. One I just met and one I've known for years, and already they're my favorite people. To my left is my former co-host, but now she's a guest, and this time, I know you were here a couple weeks ago, but this time we'll be talking more about what's been going on in your world and all the fucked up shit that is. That's Nicole Six.
Hello. Very exciting.
Yes. And Nicole, you know as well as I do, I've been doing comedy a long time.
Yes, you have.
And it's very rare that I find a comic that kind of blows me away. And
it's very rare you have a comic on your show.
Well, that's true too, but that's been but and when I do, they have to be interesting besides
exactly.
Comedy. And here she is. I did a show with her in January. I was blown away. I thought she was the best comic I've seen in years, to be honest with you. And I've been telling everybody that, and that's Kristen Lundberg right
wow.
here.
Wow, thank you. That's high praise.
Wow.
Yeah, well, Mark you, believes that women are going to be the future of comedy, so congratulations.
Well, I think they're already – it's the present of comedy, and I think in the future the guys are going to be squeezed out and marginalized, and hopefully I make the cut.
We are the matriarchs of comedy already.
There you are.
but then again, you started in the Midwest. We're going to talk about this, but you started in the Midwest, and I think that
in
L.A. it's one thing. I think in Dayton, Ohio, and Chicago, and where you – that's probably a whole nother thing.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing.
So
whole nother people.
So, but would you agree that in L.A., if you're going to be a female doing comedy, you should do it in L.A.?
Yeah, I think it's different in LA than it is in the Midwest for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Midwest, I felt like people were more polite, even though I did have my fair share of hecklers. I did have my fair share of strife, but when I came out to LA, it was like, oh, all of a sudden I'm having nightmares about how Weinstein's penis must look. And like, I'm just like, it's really in your face all the time about like with all of the abuse and things that we have to put up with. And
so you completely disagree with me. You think it's more patriarchal here in LA than it is even in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had the exact opposite. As far as comedy is concerned, I see so many great female comedians here.
Yeah.
In LA. And I know that I have a friend who was
that
here.
It just means the female comedians have to
great.
Put up with more.
Well, no, but I think that when you go to a show, I think a lot of things as far as material-wise and attitude-wise that maybe 5-10 years ago guys could get away with, they can't get away with anymore, and it's for the better.
Yeah, true.
And I think women are changing the narrative and changing – what is acceptable as far as shows.
Yeah, women, people of color, anybody who's like marginalized, all of that stuff is changing now. And I don't know. I just
what
feel
is
like
it like,
it's
though,
good.
To push the envelope now when everything is so PC? How does one push the envelope in a comedic stand-up?
Well,
a lot of,
here we go talking about comedy. Before we get to that, let me get to our sponsors really quick because I want people to go to our sponsors. And I really didn't want to talk about comedy, but I'll have Kristen answer that question. I will after this. Go to Audible. You're on the road. You listen to audiobooks, right?
I have. I've dabbled with Audible.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. Nicole loves Audible because she's
a
writer.
Audible.
By the way, Nicole's a horror writer.
I am.
She's a model. She's an actress. She's doing screenwriting now. She's doing all sorts of things.
I'm not doing screenwriting.
Okay.
I'm looking for a screenwriter. If you are a screenwriter, contact me. I don't want to write the screenplay.
She's looking
myself.
To get her books adapted to the screen.
That's she what brought we're working on. Fireball.
He brought.
I brought Fireball, and you feel free to partake.
Would you like a shot?
I would. I'm gonna. I'll right.
Feel free to partake. Although I don't know how it goes with grape soda. You'll have to tell us. So go to
Is
Audible.
True.
Audibletrial.com/DMS. You've dabbled with Audible. Maybe it was somebody in the audience.
I've dipped a toe in just a small. That's good.
Wow. It's a shot.
Here's how you dip a toe in. You go to audibletrial.com/DMS. You get a free book, two free Audible originals, and a 30-day trial for free. You cancel the next day. How is it?
It's good, man. It brings back memories.
With the grape soda or without? Or is it like...
Oh, I didn't put the grape soda in. No.
But you still have
the... This is cinnamon, no.
You had, when was the last time you had Fireball whiskey?
Probably like Chicago.
A long time ago. Like
in Chicago.
What, like 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, no, a couple years ago, 2 years ago.
Okay.
It's been a while for me.
All right, well.
Yeah.
But you know what, Mark? I will always think of your show when I drink Fireball whiskey.
Oh, good. All right.
Well, and this one really party.
Why wouldn't I partake? So I'll pour myself a little something.
Just taste it.
Just a little something, something.
Dip your tongue in.
Anyway, so I was going to say, Audible originals range from... Kate McKinnon has a fairy tale on there, which she performed with her sister. I love Kate McKinnon.
I love her, too.
Alien 3, they have a William Gibson wrote a script for Alien 3 that wasn't used. They brought back Michael Biehn and Lance Henriksen and these cast to act it out. Whatever you want. And whatever book you want. They've got everything from Shakespeare to Smut to Stephen King. Whatever you want, go to audibletrial.com/DMS.
I recommend getting The Outsider on Audible. Stephen King is going through what I'm referring to as a true detective phase. And it is a story about the Mexican boogeyman and true detective mixed together called The Outsider. So you get all the cop drama with a little taste of the supernatural.
That's pretty cool.
And by the way, we live in L.A., so the Mexican boogeyman could be right around the corner. Anyway, audibletrial.com/DMS. That's how you push the envelope in comedy these days. Are you vegetarian? Because you're in such a great shape. Are you a vegan or a vegetarian?
I'm vegetarian mostly, but sometimes I slip up. I get a fish taco at work.
Well, you would know.
I was going to say you like cheese.
Yeah, I love cheese.
I love cheese.
I love cheese. Well, she could tell by my energy that I love cheese.
Well, I don't mean to get in the middle of you two, but if you ever go to Doomy's Home Cooking, it's the best vegan food you'll ever have. Nicole can vouch for this.
It is.
Well, I've taken her to Doomy's plenty of times. You like burritos? You like nachos? Yeah. The nachos were one of the 10 best nachos in L.A.
Ooh,
the only one without meat.
They have seafood, too, so you won't have to feel guilty.
Shrimp po' boy.
Oh, yeah.
Vegan shrimp po' boy. Vegan chicken parmesan. Vegan.
Nice.
Yeah, vegan burgers. You can get a Big Mac on the secret menu.
Oh, really?
Doomy's Home Cooking, 1253 Vine Street,
McDonald's
Hollywood.
McDonald's may not feel like getting on this Beyond Meat adventure, but we already have a Big Mac that's vegan.
You know, everybody made a big deal because KFC had vegan fried chicken.
Did they, or was that just Cartman acting up?
They put it out. Doomy's Home Cooking has had vegan fried chicken for years. They put a piece of wood in there like a drumstick. 1253 Vine Street, Hollywood, California, right in the corner of Fountain and Vine, or Toronto, Canada.
Also, the creme brulee is fabulous.
Creme brulee is delicious. Oh, they have deep fried Oreos. They have chocolate cake. They have all.
We're not saying it's healthy.
It's not healthy.
But you're going to have a good time.
All cooked by the chef Das Baker, which is a takeoff of the industrial club Das Munker.
Oh, really?
Exactly. Yes. So,
is that how he found you guys?
Yeah, well, the first time I had Phil Doomy's Cooking was at Das Bunker. Huh. He used to cook tacos at Das Bunker. Also,
guilt-free tacos for you now.
Yeah.
Hustler Hollywood, hustlerhollywood.com. I love going to the Hustler store.
Wow. Me too.
Sponsor. You haven't heard anything yet. So. If you want to get a vibrator, you want to get some lingerie, you want to get dick pills, you want to get novelties, we have a 20% off code on this show and also on our Instagram.
That's 10% more than they give to strippers.
That's right. That's right. 10% more than they give to strippers. Plus a free gift. 20% off and a free gift. Just if you're listening to us or watching us on YouTube, just go in the description, click on the code, or it'll be on our Instagram page, Twitter page, Facebook page at Dark Mark Show. One more, Spy Associates. I know you've had some experiences with stalkers. I know Nicole has.
Yeah.
You want to see who's watching you. They've got cameras and smoke detectors. Well, not that camera. It's supposed to be on. But they've got smoke detectors. They've got and by the way, did I tell you you would love Kristen? Did I tell you you would love Nicole?
You did. Oh,
okay. they've got smoke the cameras and smoke detectors. They have GPS tracking. They have bug detectors. So if somebody has a bug, you can detect it. They've got it's all James Bond kind of stuff. It's great. And once again, if you go to the description on the show, on any podcast channel, YouTube, or go to our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook page, you'll get a 20% code every order over $249.
Wow.
Let's start at the beginning. And we'll get to your question.
From the top.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to go through the show without talking comedy with Kristen at all, which is why I like to do all my comic. Kristen, you may not, you probably don't know, you were born with your foot completely backwards.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I was born with club feet.
Oh,
so like, they were both backwards.
They were both backwards?
Yeah.
Like how, like, this is normal foot. They were like this?
Yeah, so they were curved in. So you know how you when you step, your foot kind of turns out a little bit to the side? So mine were totally flipped in reverse, so my toes were pointed towards the back wall.
Ooh.
Yeah, they were backwards.
How long did they fix that right away? Or?
Yeah, they fixed it.
Yeah,
like,
they'd have to
like,
while you were still small and malleable.
Yeah.
Do you have the baby pictures to prove it?
No.
That's good. You don't need to see that. Who wants to see that? I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I had a blanket cover me up in my baby pictures.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard of this happening to a person. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, it's called club feet.
Wow, I'm glad it fixed it. And you're walking fine. Everything's good. No, because we've had people on the show. We had somebody that has, actually, somebody next week is coming by as ectrodactyly, or she has web fingers, and we had somebody that was born without a hip.
Oh wow!
Michael Gogan was born without a hip.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I mean, but
I love Michael.
Yeah. I dated a guy without a pectoral muscle.
Oh, tell us about it. How is that possible?
He just didn't like it. Like, imagine, like, if you're a female, like, what it would be like to get a mastectomy on one breast.
Just right.
Just with a guy. So you just didn't have anything at all there. It kind of dented in a little bit.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. He was really self-conscious about it. I
would be too. How is that possible?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a really rare. It was a really rare thing.
Yeah. Jeez.
There's a disease that makes it so you don't have the. I don't want to say the hamstrings, but it might be the hamstrings. It's the front part of your legs. Mm-hmm. You don't have the muscle mass there, so you can't walk.
No, I've heard of that too. But you grew up in Dayton, Ohio. Actually, a suburb of Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, Kettering, Ohio.
Kettering, Ohio.
Yeah.
So how's that?
That was good. It was like a ranch style home with a basement.
Because I didn't know Dayton had suburbs.
Yeah, yeah. Dayton has like a suburb, Kettering, Beaver Creek, Oakwood. Beaver Creek and Oakwood were kind of like the nicer suburbs, and Kettering was kind of like, And then you had Dayton, which was like the inner city.
Right.
And they had their own set of public schools and their problems and stuff.
Yeah.
And, I went to Fairmont High School, home of the Fairmont Firebirds.
Yay!
Nice.
And Kettering, and your classmates, they had a nickname for you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think I heard it.
You remember. It's a room in a house.
No. Okay.
It's kitchen.
They called you kitchen?
Yeah, they called me kitchen.
Huh.
They called you kitchen? No, there's another one I was thinking of. Fuzzball.
No. That's not a real nickname. That's just...
That's a pet name?
Yeah, that's just like more of a pet name.
That's when you have a crush on somebody and you're like, ooh, hey, Fuzzball.
Hey, Fuzzball. I think my first boyfriend called me that.
No, but they called you kitchen?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, it started when I was in like seventh grade. My friend, her sister couldn't pronounce my name, and she was calling me like Kritchen or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And so my friend picked it up and started calling me Kitchen, and I hated it. Like, I always hated it.
It is a strange nickname.
The more that she said it, the more people kept calling me it, and they'd be like, my name is Living Room, and then this is Bathroom, and all that kind of shit. I knew those jokes were going to happen. I was like, man, so low brow, you know? Even at that age, I'm like, this is
there's
so
nothing worse than hearing the same jokes over and over from people who aren't funny.
People were being hacked at junior high.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, Mark and I went to the same high school, but at different times.
I was just about to say, Nicole had a an upbringing. She was in Colorado. We actually went to at separate times.
Home of the Westy Warriors.
Yeah, yeah. Your childhood, as you said, was not the happiest.
It's okay. I was in foster care, so I moved a lot. But by the time I got to Westminster High School, I actually settled down and was able to graduate, and it was a lot of fun. I really liked Westy.
Westminster, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver.
Yes.
Okay.
That's I went there for junior high. And
was that like where Kenny lives? Or
Kenny lives in South Park, which is a real place.
Oh, okay.
And so is Casa Bonita. You should go.
Okay.
But nothing there is vegetarian. You can get a vegetarian meal.
Neither is where in Ohio, where I'm from.
Well, hopefully Phil will open up do me some cooking over in Colorado.
Casa Bonita.
That would be cool.
But I was we've talked about your upbringing before, but yeah. When did you start writing?
I actually started writing in foster care because when you're poor, you read a lot of books. And then I ran out of books to read, so I started writing books.
Right.
And I actually began professionally writing when I was still in foster care at age 15, and I won a computer.
You won a computer.
I won a computer.
What kind of computer was this?
It was a Windows 2000.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
No,
nice.
It might have been 1998. I think it was 1998.
Still better than my laptop now, but
back then it was a desktop, and okay. I won it in an essay I wrote contest for the Rotary Club, the Westminster Rotary Club.
Oh, okay. How nice. Yeah. Now, were you writing horror then, or you were just trying to?
I wasn't writing horror yet. I was actually writing, I guess you'd call it sci-fi. It was stories about revenge and like. It was a lot like whatever was on TV at the time. Because if you know, what was the CW called before it became the CW?
The WB.
WB. And we had
Buffy and
exactly. Angel. We had a really nice block of TV that was paranormal, but not like scary.
Right.
That was what I wrote. Because that was what I was watching and that was what I was reading. I read a shit ton of Stephen King.
Right. Nicole the Vampire Slayer.
I wish. I was writing vampires at 13.
Yeah.
And yeah. I had a story called Nara the Black Knight, too, which was basically if Buffy was Zorro. It was really cool.
Huh.
Hmm. Now, I had heard something about you that you consider yourself a witch.
I am a witch.
You are a witch, which she never told me this. I've known her for years.
I've noticed that you're rather skeptical about magic and other things.
Well, yeah, but
we talk about it often.
No, but we had a guest on Davida Sal who said that every strong, powerful woman is a witch.
And what she means is every strong, powerful woman is manifesting things with their mind constantly, which is witchcraft.
Okay.
But it's more different when you're a witch because you're doing it intentionally. You could just be a strong woman trying to get your way in the world and using manifestation. To be a witch, you have to be, like, I have spirit guides, I have tarot cards, I have crystals,
mm-hmm.
I have candles.
Right.
I can make people happy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I've known her for years. She hasn't done any of this for me. I'm still fucking miserable.
I'm working on it. I give you my honest assessments every time you make a change to your character.
Is that what I'm doing? Is making changes to my character? I did change my hair, but it's a...
You did change your hair.
Okay.
And your face is wide open and very inviting today.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Do you agree with that? That every strong, powerful woman is a witch?
I think that's a strong statement. I do believe in... Here's what I believe. I believe that every human has a certain level of telepathy and is capable of reading somebody's mind. And if you're capable of knowing somebody well enough to read their mind, then you're capable to enough to manifest a reality with that person or like a reality with, you know, like your career or like... I don't know.
Kind of like The Secret?
Yeah.
If you put out the vibes, it'll
exactly
come to you?
Exactly like The Secret.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I agree with that.
But I believe in telepathy because of Del Close at I.O., at the Improv Olympic.
Right.
Formerly Improv Olympic, sorry. And
Yeah.
The Olympics, like, sued them or something because...
Yeah, what's going on with that?
I've never seen direct telepathy, but I've seen intuition. And some people have very strong intuition, and they can look at someone and just read them like a book, you know?
Yeah.
Did you study with Del Close?
No, I didn't. I read books about him, and I studied his style of improv, which is the Herald. And that's what they taught at I.O. And... it's true. Like, once you start to really get to know a person and you're playing the same social game with a person, you can kind of, like, start to gauge what they're going to do and how they're going to think. And that's, you know, like, why people can finish each other's sentences and stuff like that. It's the same thing in improv.
Yep.
Yeah. When you get, a great team together that plays all the time, people are so amazed at the things that they come up with and how well they listen to each other and stuff like that. And they say that it's almost magical, you know, that people think, oh, it's had to have been pre-written, or like there's no way they could have made that up on the spot. It's like, no, yes, they can. They have a similar human intuition.
They're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
And that's how you end up finishing each other's sentences. It's how you all end up feeling and thinking the same thing.
How you read a crowd.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's why I always hate it when people are like, I can't read your mind. I'm like, well, you kind of could if you wanted to, like, even a little bit.
Try harder.
Yeah.
Well, I was impressed reading about you in that you got kicked out of the Dayton comedy community, banned from the before the age of 18. Before the age of 18. Because you know Olivia Grace?
Olivia Grace.
She was kicked out of. She was banned from Flappers, like when she was 18.
Oh, really?
And I was like, wow, that's an achievement. But you were banned from an entire comedy community before you were 18.
That was pretty much it. It made me take to YouTube. There was nothing else to do after that point. Like, I was like, well,
what did you do to get banned from the Dayton comedy community?
You know, I'm not really exactly sure, but when I got off stage, he said, your material's too blue. People were coming up to me complaining, you can't talk about your mom dick sucking that kind of stuff here. Get out of here and don't ever come back.
Oh,
so, yeah. You had a routine, like, about your mother sucking dick?
I had, like, a joke.
Who doesn't?
I mean, I had one joke like that. Because she used to have this lubricant in the bathroom called Good Head. I thought it was hair stuff. I think the punchline was like, well, because my mom sucks a lot of dick, something like that. I'm not saying it was funny. It is kind of funny, but I mean, I'm saying, like, I was like a very new comic. It was an open mic. And
trying it out.
There weren't a lot of opportunities there in the first place. And I was wanting to do comedy at that point, but there were not very many entry ways. So I wanted to improv. And
right.
I wanted to start off doing improv or, like, sketch comedy, but...
Because your inspirations were all that, Keenan and Kel, and...
Yeah.
That's what really got you into comedy, right?
Yeah, Keenan and Kel and all that and the Amanda Show.
So after you get kicked out, you just start going on YouTube and just go totally independent?
Yeah, I just went on YouTube, and I also did some open mics that were like, more underground and some different, like, shows that were kind of, like, collaborative. Like, this is a hip-hop comedy. Mattress show.
Interesting.
Mattress show?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not down with the hip-hop community. What's a mattress show?
We're going to cover the whole floor with mattresses, so you have no choice but to dance. So, I don't know.
Really?
No. I'm just making up something crazy. But no,
they have weird
collaborations, weird parties.
So you went to the Dayton Underground.
Yeah, so I would do shows there, and then I also started the YouTube channel, Mammy Spanks.
Yeah, and explain Mammy Spanks to me, because that used to be your Instagram.
Yeah, it was my Instagram, and I changed it because I'm trying to go more mainstream. And I do get a lot of bookings through Instagram for comedy, and I know that commercial stuff is looking at that too, so
sure.
I try to keep it 100. I think that's for next door.
Yeah, somebody's trying to lose weight next door. Go
ahead. Yeah, so and then Mammy Spanks was my original YouTube name, and I had to I started at like 12 years ago or something. It's just like a weird name. Like, I just wanted something that sounded kind of goofy, like Dada, right. Like Dada-esque, you know, right. Like Lady Gaga, you know, her backstory is like she loved that Queen song.
All we need is Radio Gaga. Gaga. Yeah.
So I just like.
All we need is Mammy Spanks.
Yeah.
Spank yeah. The Mammy.
Bang, Mammy. And then there, for a while there, I was calling my fans like Mammy Spankonians and Mammy Spankers.
Oh,
and I started like making my whole like vocabulary. Like, if you have a questionian about me, like I'm a Daytonian. So like,
kind of like the dark minions we have here.
Yeah.
The two of you have a lot in common, other than the fact I think you have the same mother. But that's a whole different story, which we're not going to get into on air. But you're both involved in so many areas of the arts. And, you know, you not only do you write, but you've had your and you've written for definite different mediums, comic books and novels and other things. But you do paintings as well.
I do paintings. They sell. That means that I must be kind of good at them. I do also, I do a lot of sketching. I like to sketch. Well, there's a sketchbook online from one of the projects I was involved in, so you can still buy those if you want. That was back when I was in my comic book days, ages ago, in 2012, I believe.
Remember 2012, all those many years ago?
Hey, you know, time's going by fast. It's 2020.
Yeah.
It was, 2012 is a long time ago.
What was supposed to end then?
I graduated college that year.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you were in the comic book industry.
Yeah.
And
in the comic book industry until 2013. And then,
right before it blew up and became mainstream and everybody was a comic book nerd.
It is thanks to myself and a group of dedicated women that women got to be such a huge part of comics. Before Womanthology, women weren't getting jobs.
Really?
Yeah. Becky Cloonan took forever to get a Batman. She was the first woman to work on Batman. Gail Simone works on Batman, but
right.
Becky Cloonan was something like the first woman to draw Batman, and that's so recent.
That's weird.
Well, it was a bit of a boys' club for sure.
Yeah.
So we.
I can imagine there's some comic book Weinsteins walking around. You probably know the names.
Anyway.
That's a yes.
I may have been inappropriately approached by some comic book creators, yes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But I also figure that's just because they didn't know how to talk to girls.
Yeah. I bet they do now.
I wanted to write this story about the Scarecrow getting not invited to a party. And so he haunts all the villains in the DC universe and makes all their worst fears come to reality. And I was told, why don't you just start with something easy like Wonder Girl? I didn't even know who Wonder Girl was.
That's a great concept.
I know. It would have been awesome. I write horror. I'm sorry.
Maybe Wonder Girl doesn't get invited to a party, and that's so bad.
That'd be a terrible.
That's very reducing.
Yeah, that's so bad.
Same genre.
Yeah, like, you're a young woman. You got to draw you got to write for the young.
The point
woman.
Is, girls don't get to make Batman.
Well,
with the exception of Gail Simone.
Hopefully that's changing. Yeah.
Still. It's people don't realize it because there's not that many people looking that closely at comics, and it is kind of a boys club, but it's still not a lot of women in comics.
Yeah, that's
and it's not because there aren't women. There are over 160 women that in 2012 that I made a comic book with that would say we'd all work in comics if we could.
Right. Would you?
Yeah, I don't know. Writing a comic script is easier than writing a screenplay.
Well, this is what I was going to ask, because I know you were trying to, and I misspoke earlier.
I don't want to write the screenplay. What we're doing is we're working on a story right now. Me and a person from the comics community originally who also makes films, Digger T-Mesh, and he wants to adapt one of my short stories. And so there's that middle area in between having a short story and wanting a really good screenplay writer to adapt one, and then you make a movie.
Right.
I can't write screenplays. I've tried. It's not my skill set. It's a different skill set entirely from writing.
How so?
Well, it's mostly dialogue-based, for starters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to start with 90 pages. It could be more, it could be less, but it shouldn't be less because then it's going to be an episode. And it's just a completely different style of writing. Like, when you write a comic book script, it's 22 pages, and you have to write with sequential art in mind.
Right.
And writing a screenplay is very hard, actually. Even though, respect for anyone who can write one.
Even though it's the same story.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll get a screenwriter to get that going.
Well, the person who's interested in adapting one of my stories can write screenplays as well. But I'm looking into meeting more screenplay writers. I'm serious. If you're a screenplay writer, hit me up. And please. I would like to – I have everything in place that I need to make one. I just need a script.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all you screenplay writers, please – if you're watching the Dark Mark show, and I actually know a couple, we had the screenwriter who wrote The Italian Job and Deep Blue Sea on.
Oh, nice.
We should match you up with him.
I don't know if they like horror.
Well,
I mean,
he does, but he's we had him on.
Here's another thing that bothers me about Hollywood.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. The gloves are off. Nicole's calling. Here we go.
Hollywood likes to pretend that horror doesn't sell when horror sells better than mostly everything else.
Horror? Who pretends that? Horror's ruling everything.
They really believed, like, first off, they would prefer I was writing romance. I'm a girl. I have no business writing horror.
Not anymore.
Well, that's what I've been fighting against for a long time. I'm still a girl. It still would be hard to get in right now.
Okay.
I would be able to get into an independent film, but I'm going to have a whole bunch of people in the studio taking over, which is why I just want to write the short story, probably have a male screenplay writer, a male producer, and a male director. Right. Then it doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Story by Nicole Six.
Exactly. Story by Nicole Six.
Team up.
Well, I was going to say, you have so many varied art interests, as does Kitchen. I mean, Kristen, right here. Actually, you have maybe the coolest day job of any comedian I know.
Yeah, it is. It's decent.
And when I say cool, no pun intended.
It's fun. Nope, it's an ice sculpting job. You totally meant it.
That's cool.
I spend a lot of time.
I wish I was that clever.
I'm in the freezer.
That's cool.
Hey, listen, it's a good way to. It's a great way to break the ice whenever I'm meeting people.
So you take a chainsaw. Yep. To ice.
Yeah.
And wow, make things over. That's different than sculpting.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you finesse that?
Well, you finesse it with chisels and drills. But the initial cuts, if we're talking like a figure sculpture, like the initial cuts are done with the chainsaw, and then it's a very reductive process, so you got to be careful not to take off too much ice. It still needs to melt, and it's, we can be refined with drills and sanders and stuff like that.
That's cool.
So you take a block of ice.
Yeah.
And say, there's a project that's due on Saturday. When do you take the ice out?
Yeah. The ice usually they take it out in advance. It kind of sits in a big pile in the freezer. There's like 12 or... I don't know, 12 or 14 big blocks sitting on top of each other. Okay. So they're usually just like ready. And then if I had something like Saturday, I could make it Friday, just depending on what it is. Yeah.
So you come in with a chainsaw and get ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I don't do eye protection unless I'm doing some like logo stuff.
You don't do, you chainsaw ice without eye protection?
Yeah.
Wow. You're crazy.
Nah.
So you're working the chainsaw, though.
Yeah.
And then someone else comes in and does the delicate tink, tink, tink work?
No.
No, you do the tink, 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 too.
That's really cool.
How do you?
Yeah, I would never go tink, tink, tink for the ice because it would break the whole thing. It's okay. You got to make if you want to take away a piece, you got to, like, first make definitive cuts with the chainsaw, and then you can kind of stab it out or something. But yeah, the ice is really hard to control, so just like making sure that you like define like where the cuts are gonna be first.
Of course.
Yeah.
What is your favorite type of sculpture to make?
I don't know. My favorite
something coming to mind. Tell us what you're thinking of
My favorite sculpture to make is going to be when we get the CNC machine and I can just type it in the computer and not have to sculpt it anymore.
the visual of you and a chainsaw is just so irresistible, though.
Yeah, I know, but they're coming out with new technology that's surpassing what we could do by hand, and the price is getting lower. Patents are expiring. Things are like happening. And quite honestly, there's other ice places that are getting bigger clients than we do because the quality isn't that of a machine.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, like people are going to other better places that have CNC machines.
But of the sculptures you've done, what was your favorite?
I would say my favorite's been I carved E.T. a while ago. Some kid was having an E.T. birthday party theme birthday party. And I also did a $100 bill. But
that's intricate work.
Yeah. That was a lot of hand work. Yeah, and it was like 40 inches wide, so like as long as this table, about the size of this table, and then like 10 inches or 8 inches thick. And I put my signature where the president's signature was supposed to be.
Oh, that's great.
It's Benjamin Franklin on the 100, actually.
Benjamin Franklin. Okay.
He's probably one of my favorite people in history.
Why is that?
He was a genius. All the stuff he did. He started a newspaper. He went and became a French ambassador. He had inventions.
Yeah.
Benjamin Franklin was president, but he did so many things.
Yes, he did. Now, I was going to say that you've completely revamped your social media.
I have, yeah.
We were talking about this. Now, so, you were that Nicole Six.
I was that Nicole Six, and I had a regular Nicole Six Facebook, but they just sort of, I don't know, they sort of topped out. I did all I could with them, so I had a second one in backup that was called Just Some Fucked Up Shit. It was about my books.
Right.
And so now I'm Nicole Six Books because that's what my focus is on.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you, her books are some fucked up shit and some fucked up shit ghosts.
And I'm working on some fucked up shit witches right now.
There you go.
Listen, I wanted to say about the screenplay, I've been wanting to do like an angry ice lady. Maybe it'd just be called the angry ice lady. or maybe it'd be called like Get Out.
So do you need a screenplay writer too?
Yeah.
We all
I don't feel like it. I just write stand up for myself.
It is very hard.
Angry ice lady? Like ice lady with a chainsaw? Like
yeah, so she get mad at her co-workers for like whistling at her, doing all they harass me and shit.
It sounds very smart.
Yeah, you know, so I take them, I freeze them in the blocks of ice, and then I chop up their bodies and make like beautiful art out of them.
I like it.
That's great.
Very Evil Dead of you.
And nobody would ever know.
No one would ever know.
Except there's a body in the ice that I, the E.T. ice that I ordered for my son. There's a body in here, and he seems very inappropriate. So I know you were because your social media is great too.
Thank you.
Because you've done you know how to do graphic design and all that other stuff. And
yeah.
Your website looks professional.
Thank you. Yeah, I just redesigned my website. So excited. I work with a web designer. He lives with me. Is my roommate, and we think about this stuff. We're like, okay, Kristen.
Are you guys still in bunk beds?
We're still in bunk beds. We got that bunk bed situation going on.
Are you on top?
Top bunk. Hey man, I want to be on top somehow.
You're the star, of course.
He helped me design it. So we put some action items on there. So as soon as you go up to the homepage, you can click a clip, watch something right away. You could clip to buy my tiny violins right away. You don't have to.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Yeah, you got some great merch.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's still all up there. I just got a spurt, a big growth spurt of followers on YouTube, subscribers on YouTube. Like, I don't know what happened. Within the last couple of weeks, I got like 900 followers on YouTube.
That's kind of what Mark was talking about. My, social media revamps, all of a sudden, boom. Like, it's insane. I got 5,000 followers pretty much within the last 2 months. So
that's really cool. That's is that on Instagram or...
My Facebook, it just tapped out like automatically with just a few grindhouse pictures.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I have no idea what happened.
Do you target specific fan bases? Like, obviously, I was targeting a specific fan base with mine.
No, but I think my fan base might be like dirty old men.
Mine too.
I think both of you have the same fan base.
But I'm trying, like, so I have this this video of me at the Terracotta Nudist Resort doing stand-up.
Hold on one second. Let me pull that one up.
I'm wearing a shawl, but, you know, still that title, though, like, well, it got like 175,000 views.
That'll do it.
Amanda Palmer got her start playing piano with a light up her skirt. You never know what's going to do it.
Now, did you just put that video up?
I didn't. That video's been up for months, but for some reason, within the past couple of weeks, like, it got like 100,000 views all at once.
Someone important
and
must
then some
have tweeted
subscribers.
You.
I wonder what happened because I didn't get that. I didn't get that tag. So.
So how was that performing comedy in the nude to people in the nude? I mean, had a shawl on, but everybody else was, you know, free balling. How was that?
Wouldn't that feel weird though? Like everyone's just laughing at your naked body.
From me. Well, they wouldn't laugh at your naked body. They would laugh at mine. They wouldn't laugh at yours either. Yeah. Paul, maybe. But they wouldn't laugh at your naked. But you bottled. You're a beautiful woman.
Yeah, it was like there were other beautiful women there too. So it wasn't really a big thing. A lot of the audience members were a bit older than I am. So
you don't say.
Yeah, they're all like in their 50s and stuff.
Yeah.
So what was
there were women there too. So it wasn't like.
Some women in their 50s, too.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what was the video? What about the video got so many different likes?
I think just because it said, just because it was nude or something, they probably trying to find porn on YouTube. You know how people.
Well, maybe
some.
It might have been. It's possible another comedian had like nude comedy.
Yeah.
And like they suggested yours.
Yeah,
I still think somebody.
Like, maybe there's a Reddit thread or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I know somebody else that did comedy like in at a swingers resort, and it's a nude people, and
okay,
that was the whole thing. But I mean, when people were laughing and like, you know, parts that you wouldn't normally see are bouncing up and down when they're laughing. Is that weird?
No, I believe
the
part.
She's naked. The audience isn't naked.
No, the audience, we're all naked.
No, the
really?
Audience was naked. No, it's a nudist resort.
Okay,
the audience was naked.
It really
you
is
were
cool.
not naked.
But
you had a shawl on.
I had a shawl on because I wanted to put it up on YouTube.
Right.
But you could tell I was naked because there's a part where I jump up and you can see my cooter like in the front, but I bleeped it out.
Wait a second. Wait a second. I'm sorry.
We had to because otherwise YouTube would pull it.
YouTube would freaking pull it. Yeah, so I had to. But
good
I'm
job.
Like, you know, with all of this, like with all these followers, like I want to start something. So I started, I'm trying to start a talk channel on my YouTube where I just talk about comedy and talk through like
influences. Are you going to be nude?
Talk through romance. No.
Wearing a shawl?
I think they might expect you to be kind of nude. They expect me to wear fishnets now. I can do that. I wear fishnets often.
Well, that's the thing because you used to model.
Yeah, a little bit.
And Nicole has always had a sexy image because she's a sexy woman. But she posted when you restarted your social media, you posted some
grindhouse pictures.
Probably the most salacious pictures I've ever seen of you, and they're not that salacious. It's her.
No.
It's her in stockings and
seriously,
bras.
I'm just in stockings with my legs crossed. They're totally tame.
Because we have a mutual friend who we might be in the same movie actually together. It looks like we're going to be, where he has a fetish for stockings.
Oh, okay.
He started the Nylon Girls.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
all
he
right.
did.
So this was kind of to get and then. Based on that, you got 5,000 Instagram and 5,000 Facebook followers.
People are immediately drawn to the page, and then they also like the book. Like, the moment they find out that I have a book, they all want to buy it. So that's
amazing.
Helpful to me. But I'm at the 5,000 friends limit, so now you'll have to follow me on Instagram. But I'll follow you back. I can't add any more friends. I'm sorry.
And she does follow. She does follow people back.
And it took me.
You might have to delete a few of those because you need to leave room for real connections, like business connections.
Well, they will send me messages and then I add them because I lose like a follower or two every day. But there's over 1,000 people waiting to be my friend, so it's not a big deal. I then go around and I find someone who has mutual friends and I add them.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I don't. If you have like three mutual friends and your name is something and you're in some weird foreign country, I don't add you. But if we have 100,
it was mostly people who like rock and roll.
Yeah,
which are perfect for me because they like sex appeal and horror.
No, we get that. I get that on a daily basis. Like some weird like guy and the guy like. Three friends, or for me, it's usually a girl, like a beautiful woman. It's like, ooh, who's this? And like, oh, it's three other guys and they're all comics and that's the other
people. Yeah. That's perfect.
So, no, I thought maybe they reran your America's Got Talent audition and maybe that's why you got some hits.
Oh, maybe. Maybe, you know, I don't think that ever went to air.
Really?
Yeah.
So, because let me, I didn't give you the whole trajectory. You went to college in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And you were doing comedy there.
Yeah.
And you were, graphic arts was it? Or you were,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's when you started working at a toy factory.
Yeah, at a toy sculpting place.
Toy sculpting place.
Yeah.
You do a lot of sculpture.
Yeah, yeah. That was, like one of my first, yeah, that was like my first job out of college. I got it because I knew somebody who worked there, and he came into a coffee shop I was working one day, and he said, oh, I remember you, and, like, we caught up, and he said, we're hiring people at our toy company that know how to work computers because we got this new software that we're dealing with, and the software is crazy, and they're trying to hire millennials that would, like, be willing to sit there and actually learn the software.
Right.
And they were experiencing a bit of pushback with the employees that were working there because Everything was all traditional sculpture.
They had, like, Geppetto working there, and he's, like, sculpting everything out of wood, and
so they had like original Star Wars prototypes and like really like things that people find valuable.
Angry Birds.
Yeah, dude, I worked on Angry Birds. I if you go to behance.net/mammyspanx, MammySpanx, you'll see all my old poly paints and like sculptures and
Now, yeah, is that a fun job or is that really tedious?
It was really tedious. It was hard. It was minimum wage. It was like $12 an hour or something. And, I got paid. I got paid by the hour. I got paid fair for all my work. But it was very, hard to stare at a computer screen for all that time. For like 12 hours at a time, you know, trying to push out a project and nobody has the answers to your questions because the software is so new that not even the deep internet had the freaking answers.
Ooh, you went to the dark web to find out how to design toys?
We were digging deep, man. We were digging deep. I was desperate to find the answers to some of these questions, and really honestly sometimes the best way with brand new software is to just figure it out yourself,
right?
Which sucks, but yeah, I had to do that
because Han Solo has to look like Han Solo.
Yeah,
Angry Birds have to look like Angry Birds.
They gotta look like Angry Birds, but above all else they gotta look cool.
Is that why the brats don't have noses?
The brats don't have noses
because
it's like a stylistic
surgery.
Yeah, it's like a stylistic choice.
It's plastic surgery. You want to have big eyes and a tiny nose.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Well, you know
big
what
lips.
It is. It's the
I thought
science.
It was user error. I didn't know.
There's a science behind cute stuff. So, like, when mammals are born, like, all of our heads, our foreheads, and our eyes are a lot bigger than our nose and mouth. And this is like, this triggers a maternal instinct in both males and females to take care of this little thing. So this is like a scientific thing in our brain. Yeah, it's in all mammals. And so like if you look at rabbits, bears, like baby cub animals, they all have a bigger forehead and big eyes. And they did some tests. I read it in like Wired magazine or something like that. Some magazine. And they did some tests on
it
the brain.
It sounds true to me.
Yeah, and it forces you to want to like kind of take care of that. So when Baby Yoda came out, you know, dude, like that, they hacked us. They hacked their brains.
I
want to
take care of Baby Yoda.
And they're doing it. They're doing it with dolls. They do it with like all the.
Well, it also makes sense with our pets because like cats and dogs have much smaller noses compared to their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then once somebody's eyes and mouth grow, you're like, fuck them.
Yeah.
Let them fend for themselves.
Well, no, we're still trained to think that of a large mouth is suggestive.
Oh, I know that.
So, but it's
because
true.
You have a large mouth.
So that's why I do have a large mouth. I have big red lips.
I knew where she was going with that.
But that's why we're into small noses. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that
it could be one of the reasons.
I'm not really into small noses, but I'm also not really into like giant noses. I want people, I'm Italian, so the Italian nose is usually like right just there, you know?
Yeah, that's a good nose.
So, yeah.
It's like perfect.
So that takes me out. Anyway, no, but tell.
You have a mark. Your nose is a perfectly normal size.
We measured my nose a couple weeks ago, and I had the biggest nose in the studio.
It looks good.
Thank you. Now, you speaking of,
I think your nose is bigger than mine, but it's small on your face.
Okay.
It's like 2 by 3.
All right. We're always measuring my nose. No, but you.
Well, Mark, they say if you have a big nose, you also have a big penis.
Who said that?
No, it's the thing.
Okay, well, I'm not going to disagree with that. Now, you went from Cincinnati to Chicago, and that's really where you did serious stand-up. But tell Nicole about the job that you had in Chicago.
Oh, at the Redhead Piano Bar?
Yeah.
There's a Redhead Piano Bar?
Yeah.
Is it just redheads?
No. I actually didn't have red hair when I worked there.
Okay.
The red hair came afterwards.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not a natural redhead?
Oh.
You pull it off so well. I thought you were a natural redhead as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm not
going to
lie to you guys. This is intentional.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I did do a show that I headlined, like a comedy show. It was like all redheads. And
you felt like a fraud?
I felt like a fucking fraud. And they wanted to do an interview with me and all this stuff. I was like, no, I'm okay. I'm good on interviews, you know, because they were going to ask about my redhead life and all that stuff. And I don't want to have to talk about
my goodness
being, you know.
I wasn't a ginger. I've had a soul the whole time.
But you play violin, and you're like, I mean, I'm sure people are like, oh, she's like a hot carrot top. You know, I'm sure you get that all the time.
That's exactly what they're thinking, hot carrot top.
Yeah, she's a beautiful – if carrot top was a beautiful woman, look like you. It's that weird-looking guy.
I mean, I think sometimes people think that. I don't know. I think –
So you're naturally brunette then?
I beat them to the chase. Yeah, I'm a natural brunette.
Yeah, because you did the eyebrows too. Now I'm like looking at it.
No, I didn't do anything.
Okay, so that's natural. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but it blends in with the red, so it's yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I mean the cool thing about the redhead gene is you have to either have a mom or a dad that has red hair to get red hair. If I were to mate with somebody who had red hair, that child would have red hair 100%.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool.
I like gingers. I think they're hot.
Like
Sean
too.
White, that is a very attractive man.
Sean White.
Well, that's comic? Probably no. Sean White, the skateboarder or the snowboarder.
Snowboarder.
You probably get that too.
Oh no, I don't get Sean White.
Oh wow, the snowboarder.
There's also a comic named Sean White.
Oh okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Sean White is.
There's so many comics now that all the names are overlapping.
Yeah.
Back in his early days when he was just an X Games performer, but now he
full-blown man,
full-blown Olympic gold medalist. Sean White's hot as hell.
Well, I'll have to look him up. Crimson Tomato.
Yeah.
Terrible nickname.
I don't think he chose
Gross.
It. I think the fans chose it.
Yeah.
The
nicknames
Crimson
are
Tomato.
Like that sometimes.
Yeah.
You don't always get to pick your nicknames.
Trust me. I know. I had nicknames that took got Kitchen and Fuzzball to shame.
People just call me 96.
No, but you worked at a piano bar where it was like a Dick's Last Resort meets Hooters, from what I hear.
Yeah, they had us wear our mandatory uniform was a pair of stockings with a suit jacket that was oversized so that the suit jacket covered our ass.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to go just below our ass. And then we were to go get the suit jacket tailored so that it would fit our curvature. And they would give us $50 for the tailor, and we would have to like go buy a suit jacket off the internet or at a thrift store was where they suggested. And we had to wear a red collar, a red choker ribbon, and wear makeup in minimum 2-inch heel.
Did you wear underwear underneath the suit jacket? Or was it just...
Stockings.
Just stockings.
Yeah. So it was,
this sounds really hot.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It was actually a really cute outfit. The idea behind it was supposed to look like you're a woman who's putting on the man's jacket to go out of the hotel room to go get a bucket of ice.
Oh, sure.
And you just needed something to put on.
Nice.
So you used the dude's jacket.
And you would go from comedy to wait tables in that outfit.
Yeah. So there were a few nights I would go...
You're very good at using sex appeal for your career.
Thank you.
being like slutty about it. I respect that.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't post my ass on Instagram. I don't post my ass on social media anywhere. You don't really see more of me than, you know, what you're looking at
right now. I will never do a nude. But I don't need to. That's another thing I learned from this experience. Some good fishnets are just as good as a high quality nude.
The mystery. The mystery is.
I would, but it'd have to be tasteful. But that's so. But in Chicago, that's where you got on America's Got Talent.
Yeah, yeah. So that all came at once. So I would go from like I would do a set at the Laugh Factory. Back then I was a paid regular at the Laugh Factory. Yeah. You get like 60 bucks a night to do a set. I would go there. I would go to the Redhead Piano Bar. I'd work from 10 p.m. at the piano bar until like 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning. And oftentimes I would wear glasses, like little fake glasses, so people wouldn't recognize me. But it never failed. People always recognized me. They'd be like, weren't you just at the Laugh Factory? Right. I saw you at the Laugh Factory.
How close was it to the Laugh Factory?
Sorry, Superman.
It wasn't too far. That Laugh Factory is like they're probably like a mile apart or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah, Laugh Factory was like in Uptown or... Yeah, and then the place I worked was downtown, so uptown and downtown, you know?
Right. How was the Laugh Factory in Chicago? I love the Laugh Factory here.
Laugh Factory in Chicago is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could fit 300 people in it.
Wow.
So it was pretty overwhelming, especially in the wintertime. A lot of people would come to the Laugh Factory.
Get that out of cold.
It would be sold out.
Yeah.
I would always try to record my clips and my sets there. And
is that when you started doing the violin and the act?
Yeah, I did. I started doing it more there than I never really got past at Zany's. I wasn't really cookie cutter enough for them. They kind of want something more appeasing. Laugh Factory is a little more wild. Like, they would have really fun shows, different varieties, show roast battles and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you would think it'd be the other way around. Zany's would be the wacky one.
Nah, Zany's was tame, weak.
Yeah.
Nah, they're fine. They're cool. But
talking Chicago comedy smack now.
I know, man. Zany's whack. Nah, they're all right. I performed at Zany's when they had me do the one night stand up New Year's Eve special. They did a New Year's Eve special in Chicago. They picked like 12 comics or something,
right?
And it was like a TV special, so it was like
the
very, very first like Chicago TV stand up special type of deal.
Okay,
and I was on that, and I remember performing at Zany's for that. I'm like, look at me now, like, you know, yeah.
How zany am I?
You didn't have no say over this one, now, did you?
Right. See, I can't believe that. Like, I can't believe they didn't pass you on America's Got Talent. That's what I'm like.
Oh, they did. They did pass me, but they.
I
didn't make the cut. Yeah, I didn't like. Heidi Klum was the one who said no, so technically that's a pass. Simon Cowell and Howie.
Yeah, you have to get all four.
Mel B said yes, and then that qualified as a pass.
Oh, okay.
Because there's three.
Do you resent Heidi Klum for this?
Yeah,
I would resent Heidi Klum for
this. I do a little bit, because I don't think that Germans have a very good sense of humor, first of all. She needed to step outside herself before making that decision.
Well, first off, what's her talent? And second of all, what is that bitch's problem? What did she say that, like, she didn't... I just thought that I didn't think it was funny.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, she was just like, I didn't think it was funny or whatever.
Wow. Were you ginger at the time?
No, actually, I wasn't.
Ah, see?
All right.
I think it gets to the bottom of it now.
I mean,
have to say Heidi Klum, whose artistic talents in the world are being a model. I'd have to say she's probably pretty looksist. She probably had a certain look in her mind that.
Yeah, I looked like I put on like a sparkly shirt, and then I had these tearaway pants, because that was part of my act. I would be like, so y'all are thinking she could play fiddle pretty good, but can she play fiddle without pants? And then I would rip off my pants. and then that was the big reveal. So it was, I mean, the pants were kind of just like, meh, black pants. I mean, fuck, what do you want from me?
Those are model legs. I could not pass you.
Oh, man. Yeah, I had twig-like legs.
Oh, stop.
Then.
I'm sure they were beautiful, but Heidi Klum, whatever.
Just not beautiful enough for Heidi Klum.
Well, please. At least Simon Cowell said, I mean, he could have been a real asshole to you, but he liked it.
No, that's good.
No,
I think it's really,
really
good
nice.
That you have that I would be much more excited to have Victoria and Simon Powell pass me than Heidi Klum.
You mean Melanie B?
Yeah.
Well, whichever Spice Girl is on there now. Yeah. Who knows? So now you've been in LA a couple of years. You were at the LA Riot Festival. This is the thing. I'm like behind the times now. I just did a show with you a couple months ago and saw how amazing you are. But everybody knows now. You were one of the 1,000 comics to watch. You were at the LA Riot Festival. You've been, I saw like 100, you know, you've been on, if you go to your website, there's so many so many articles praising you nationwide.
Yeah. I've been doing this for quite a bit. I've been entering myself into festivals for years now. So, I bought tickets to fly out here to do the San Diego. I've bought tickets to fly out to do the Riot Fest. I've flown all around the country and done comedy. I featured for Patton Oswalt, and somebody wrote me up for that. And
that's great.
That was back in Ohio when I was living in Chicago, and then I got hired to do the gig in Ohio, which was fun. And people from my hometown were at the gig they weren't even expecting to see me. Like, they're like,
you're just there for Patton Oswalt.
They see me come out. I'm like, how you like me now? It was fun. No, Patton is hilarious, and he had some really nice, encouraging things to say when I was opening for him. And
after he
saw my act and stuff, he was like, "Oh, when you move to LA, you're gonna book out the ass." And I'm like, "Well,"
he was right.
I'm like, "JFL, check up on me."
okay.
Just relax.
I know.
Comedy Store, check up on me, man. No.
The thing is, there's so many comics.
Yeah, the stand-up is surprisingly more challenging than getting acting work out here. I've been doing really well acting work.
Yeah, your first audition, you got a role for as a lesbian...
lesbian janitor.
It's that you're like typecast. You're the lesbian janitor.
Yeah. And then that project didn't go through.
It didn't go through.
What were your lines as a lesbian janitor?
Oh, I think they wanted me to improv them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were playing like that.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to improv a line as a lesbian janitor. Hold on, I'm trying to get to my character here. Your pipes are clogged. Yeah, I can. I don't know, but
that floor is wet.
Exactly. There you go. See?
Depends the type of lesbian janitor you want.
Right. I think they were going for a butch, right?
Yeah.
They weren't going for the femme janitor.
That's too bad. Yeah. But it's obvious which side I write.
Well, I don't know. I'm more of a lipstick janitor.
So, but people, people, the violin thing is really. You've taken off. Now, you do all the songs that you do on stage, public domain.
Yeah. Yeah, and the ones that weren't public domain, I made them public domain. And then there's some that weren't, that I made, different notes.
Anything public. Yeah, I was going to say, you can make anything public domain if you change the tempo.
Yeah. Tempo.
Really?
Or the notes themselves.
Yeah.
Well, if you play something bad, then it's just like... people recognize it, it's still like...
It wasn't letting me post Bach because Bach was actually being played by this other violinist. So I really wanted Bach's Rite of Spring. And so I just sped it up a little bit on tempo and then I could post it and use it as I want.
Oh, wow. Now you tell me. Because last week we had a singer on and we played her songs and YouTube flagged it right away.
Yeah. You just have to change the tempo.
All right. Well.
Yeah. Now, sometimes people go a little crazy with that and they post things that sound like chipmunks.
I hate that shit.
It's like, why post this?
Now, in your, I hadn't taken a look at your YouTube videos from when you were in high school and college. Did you do that? Did you do like the orange guy and speed things up? Or
No, I didn't do that. I used... like whatever was public domain.
Well, if she's
domain,
changing the notes, then it's her own.
No, but I mean,
covers and parodies.
What sketches were you doing when you were doing the YouTube thing?
Oh, when I was doing the YouTube, I would use music that I got for free offline. Freeplaymusic.com.
No, but what kind of sketches would you do?
Comedy sketches. Like, I had this one sketch where I embodied fake news. So I was the character Fake News.
Oh, okay.
So I was just like covered in like weird glitter, like my face was like slimy and gross looking. And then like I would like pop up out of places that you don't expect me. I'd be like eggshells have more vitamins than the yolks. like say fake news. Like,
fake news.
Like, yeah. Oh,
that's funny.
Yeah, I'd be like, Star-kissed tuna uses Fukushima fish. Or like... that was back when that was popular. You know, the whole fake news thing. That was...
Oh, I think some people are still...
That was fucking everybody up back then.
Oh, it fucks everybody up.
Facebook is the number one spreader of fake news. Because people just take a story and post it and roll with it.
Yeah.
And they don't look into it. And it's bad.
They just hope that it's true.
I'm about ready to quit Facebook. I wish I could.
You need Facebook. We all need
it. I need it, but God damn it. You know.
Mark Zuckerberg has trapped us all.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, if it weren't for my mother and father, I would be off of Facebook. I just don't.
If I wasn't doing comedy, I would be off it all. I would never.
You definitely need it for events.
No, I need. Well,
but we need to revamp your Facebook. We need to do something sexy for your Facebook.
Let's revamp now, the Mark, Facebook and be sexy. Okay, let's say.
All right.
Nicole's got an idea.
Yes, I do. You yourself cannot be in sexy fishnets. True?
It's conceivable, but sure.
Might actually improve your
sexy to some people.
But you could have two women stand next to you in sexy fishnets in a quality number of pictures, like Instagram promoters do all the fucking time.
And I do all the fucking time, too.
You have beautiful women standing next to them, but you respect them too much. You don't put them in classy fishnets.
Okay.
Well, you take pictures of our faces.
Okay, well, all right. So I'm sure you have a friend in mind.
No, but I'm sure you could find... It's the goth community. I'm sure you could find a couple of Hell's Bells or something that, you know... All you need to do is the right photo shoot like I did, but you need a photo shoot with women.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Now we're talking. Now, what was that question about comedy?
You could put two clowns in bikinis with fishnets. I bet that go over really well.
No, don't even don't. It's been the 3-year anniversary of her death. Don't even.
I wasn't thinking of her.
Yes, I went out with a clown, and she
a beautiful
passed away.
Clown.
She's the most beautiful clown in the world.
Yeah,
that may be true.
The clown Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
And she's been a guest on our show plenty of times. I'm not kidding. And everybody's like, "Oh, you guys look so adorable together."
Their chemistry was undeniable.
There was undeniable chemistry, and unfortunately, she passed away a few years ago. But
we were very sad about that.
Yeah. Aww. So thanks for bringing the show.
Okay. So don't make them
sorry
clowns.
About that.
No, but what was the you had a question about comedy at the beginning that I we never answered
so long ago.
Right.
Oh. See how adorable is that?
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Poor clown.
Your hair got white so fast.
Well, I dyed it white. That's the whole
thing. He's trying a new look. I think it makes him look younger.
It's my because you went red. Now I'm going for the silver fox.
Yeah.
Well,
like that. It looks nice and toned. It doesn't look yellow.
Yeah. You know, under certain light. But I mean, when you first met me, I had black hair.
Yeah.
You forgot already.
No, I do remember.
Oh, okay. All right.
I've definitely never seen a blonde before. You did this recently.
I did this last week.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be silver, but
it is
it
silver.
Looks cool.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
So it's anyway, silver with platinum because the tips are not.
They're dirty
silver.
Blonde still.
So the last question I have for you, because it's been over an hour. It's been like an hour. What were you, hour five, hour 10? It goes by so fast when it's good.
Yeah, it does.
And you guys are great.
Thank you. You too, by the way. Man, you have questions on deck.
Yeah. Oh no, I research plenty.
You're like knowledgeable.
Yeah, I could. I
What's the last question, Mark?
Yeah.
Well, the last question was the difference between the Chicago comedy scene and the LA comedy scene.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The crowds. The crowds in Chicago versus the crowds in LA. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I felt like a lot of the crowds in Chicago were more forgiving. They're more receptive to comedy. I definitely have more friends in Chicago. I lived there longer. Towards the end, the audience was like really like friendly and ready to be there. Everything in Chicago was about trying things out, experimenting, failing. And like other comics love seeing that, needless to say. And audience members love seeing the experimentation too.
Sure.
And then like coming out here at first is like a little less forgiving. Sometimes I felt... The the weirdness of being a woman in comedy, like, and then going to the comedy store and like the really like broiness that's happening, like at the comedy store, especially Kill Tony and all that stuff.
It's a bit broy.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, we never had anything like that even remotely close in Chicago. Like the places that people thought were broy in Chicago were like actually really accepting compared to the store.
So yeah, I've got things completely twisted. I thought like here would be the more, because I see so many great female comics that put on their own shows, and you put on your show, and and so I thought here, I mean, I just see women taking over. I see the subject matter taking over. I read an article today, they were talking about Bill Hicks, and they were interviewing comics saying, oh, he was a little misogynist and all that stuff. I've never seen anybody say anything bad about Bill Hicks.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to hear that he is a little misogynist, because I mean his material is just raw as hell. I mean, that's Bill Hicks. He just doesn't sugarcoat shit for anybody. But I don't know. I definitely felt like when I was coming here that being a woman in comedy kind of sucked again for a minute. Right. But then I started getting my own feed and getting to know people. Starting my own show like definitely helped with like being able to get my own stage time and offer stage time to other bookers in exchange for stage time.
Right. I mean, I guess I'm just naive, because I'm not Jerry Lewis. I think women are fun. I think everybody's funny. So there's some fun. Let's be honest. There's so many fucking comics here. Yeah. I would say 20% are very, very funny, such as yourself.
Thanks.
And, you know, and the rest are, you know, at varying degrees to unwatchable to they're getting there. Yeah. And I know Jerry Lewis said there's no funny women, and Andrew Dice Clay had a whole fucking thing about the women and all that stuff. Yeah. I think that's completely changed.
Definitely make it much harder to be a female performer, I think.
Yeah.
Or a comedy.
It can make it harder to start becoming
and
a female performer.
And also a lot of female comics just get sort of typecast and sort of lowbrow type of humor that basically they are just seen as female comics, where if you want to be truly good at something, you need to be seen as just a comic. Like, you don't want your gender to qualify you one way or the other.
And it shouldn't, because I've seen you just destroy places, and you know, just a couple times I've seen you, and it's just and it's not good for a woman. It's just fucking great. So,
exactly, that's how it should be.
Thank you.
I think you've been here a couple of years, so I think things are changing. I think you're finding yourself, and I think I'm trying to think the last comic that really impressed me as much as you did, and I can't think of him. Him or her. I said him. Freudian slip. I can't think of him or her who impressed me as much as you did. And I've actually told other female comics about you.
Nice.
Like, there's no, you know, I don't run into, you know, they're like, I don't run into a lot of female comics. I'm like, they're out there.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of my anger towards being a female in comedy was let loose when I was still in Dayton and in Cincinnati, because like I said, it's extremely hard to start doing comedy or want to come out as a comic when, you know, people are saying stuff like that, and you know, people are saying women aren't funny and blah blah blah, and it's like that's the hardest part, is just even starting. And then, you know, things happen. People rub up against me. We fight. There's a thing that happens. I always come out on top. That's because comedy has always been my passion. And female or not female, I 100% think I would have been a comic even if I were a dude. It's just what's always been in my heart. It's what's always given me whatever I've wanted. Boyfriends, A-pluses, a motor vehicle, just anything I've ever
wanted. That's something we got to talk about next time.
Yeah.
But you and I have the same thing. If I don't do comedy for a week, I'm physically ill. But tell everybody now how to get a hold of you. And some shows you have coming up. Now, people might be watching this a year from now, but you have your weird comedy show.
Yeah, I have Wild Weird Comedy Show that's at Bar Lubitsch. And we do that once a month, and we can't figure out what day. So it's just once a month. It's Wild Weird Comedy. You can find it on Instagram, too. We always post when we're going to have shows. My Instagram is Kristen Lundberg Comedy, and I always post my shows, my own personal shows on there. And then my YouTube is Kristen Lundberg, and I want to start doing comedy talks on there. So if you know any comedians or people who are thinking about starting comedy, or if you yourself are thinking about going out and doing a set, tune into my YouTube, and I want to start talking about things that surround comedy, especially towards the beginning. And yeah. The Facebook, Kristen Lundberg. But, you know, we, like we said, we're all reaching our friend limits here, so yeah, well, better just go to the Instagram.
Not me, but but you know how people, like, when they, you know, even in the broiest of cultures, they're like, oh, this guy's a comedy beast.
Yeah.
You are a comedy beast. Nicole, thanks, now you've got all sorts of stuff going on. I'm sorry we got on that tangent.
Oh, it's okay. I have to head home very soon.
No, I know. But tell everybody what you got going on. And how they get a hold of you.
Right now, I'm just looking for screenplay writers, like I said. So that's what I'm working on at the moment. You can contact me on Facebook. You can send me a direct message there. I won't be able to add you on Facebook, though. So go to @Nicole6Books on Instagram, where I'll be able to add you and follow you.
And Goth Comedian, all social media. We went to overtime, but I could talk to you two forever. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.